Would you like to see more peace? Trick question, huh? More peace in the world? For sure. More peace in our nation? More peace in your families, maybe? Sometimes that can be a bugaboo too, huh? In your friends? More peace within your own heart and soul. How about that? Do you ever feel a disconnect from out there in the world? All that stuff that's going on, it's like, no, I'm not part of that. I mean, I just feel like I'm sort of observing it, but it's not part of my little circle. I'm just walking through, half asleep, just surviving, separated from the world. Do you ever feel that way, or is it just me? Thank you. Do you ever feel separated from other people? It's like, go away, you people that are doing all that stuff that I think you shouldn't be doing. Just can't wrap my head around it. I don't understand. Separated from other people? You ever feel separated or disconnected from your own heart? That's the part for me that hurts. So some of you feel that too. Good to know I'm not alone. So let's show the first slide, please. So back in the Revealing Word, Charles Fillmore, one of our co-founders, said this: a peacemaker is one who has the ability to say peace to the turbulent waves of thought, who reduces peace to all the thoughts of strife, anger. Reduces to peace all the thoughts of strife, anger, and retaliation in his or her own mind. Wow. You mean I can't call myself a peacemaker if I haven't done that? If I haven't reduced all those thoughts of anger and turmoil to peace within my own heart and mind? Wow, sometimes I am a peacemaker, and sometimes maybe not so much. Yeah, I don't like that. I want to be a peacemaker all the time. So it's easy to say peace in the world starts here inside us first, right? You all know that. I'm talking to the choir. You're unity types. You know it starts here inside ourselves first before we can expect to see it out in the world. Sometimes that's hard to hang on to, but we know that. And it's easy to say that, but it's not always easy to do, is it? So sometimes, you know, in unity, we're a practical spiritual community movement in that we have practical tools that we give people to use with which to live a better life. Practical tools like our five principles and our 12 powers and prayer and meditation and a whole host of practical tools that we give you to use to take responsibility for having a better life. But sometimes those spiritual practices and tools just seem to be not enough. What, we want more? It just seems like they sometimes fall short in providing the relief that we so yearn for. Do any of you yearn for that relief in your heart? Yeah. Yeah. Yet we still experience the stress of the news bombarding us, interfering, assaulting our peaceful calm. Yeah. The Buddhists have a story about a pot of soup boiling. And if it's boiling on the fire, we can slow down that boil by stirring it, can we not? Mm-hmm. But it's still not going to stop boiling until we take it off the fire. So until we take care of the fire in here, we can see some progress in seeing peace out there in the world, but it's not going to stop being tumultuous and boiling until we first go here. And so I know that intellectually, but having it come to my heart, that story really helped me to see, yeah, definitely. And then when I bring peace in here, when I have anger feelings and I can reduce them to the peace in here, then I can radiate peace out into the world one by one. Yeah. Next slide, please. Charles Fillmore, one of our co-founders. This was written in the Daily Word in 1955, and I don't know when he wrote it, but I'm sure it was long before 1955. But he says, we pray for and decree a permanent world peace, uniting all the nations of the earth in a league of justice and righteousness in which the life, liberty, and love of God shall be paramount. We are thinking our world is topsy-turvy, tumultuous nowadays, but they thought their world was that way back then. But it's worse now, right? Yeah, I know it is, right? Okay, so let's talk about then how do we ease our distress? How do we go into our heart and bring peace in tumultuous times when it's not so easy? So there's lots of things you can do, but today I'd like to bring up emphasize four things. So can we show you read this poem at your peace rally last week, but I'd like to show something about the actual writer of the poem. Reciting it in the way that he does is really a moving experience. So let's take a look.
I can't make the world be peaceful. I can't stall tanks from roaring down streets. I can't prevent children from having to hide in bunkers. I can't convince the news to stop treating war like it's a video game. I can't silence the sound of bombs tearing neighborhoods apart. I can't transform a guided missile into a bouquet of flowers. And I can't make a warmonger have an ounce of empathy. I can't convince ambassadors to quit playing truth or dare. I can't deflect a sniper's bullet from turning a wife into a widow. And I can't stave off a country from being reduced to ash and to rubble. I can't do any of that. The only thing I can do is to love the next person I encounter without any strings or conditions, to love my neighbor so fearlessly that it causes a ripple that stretches from one horizon to the next. I can't force peace upon the world, but I can become a force of peace in the world. Because sometimes all it takes is a candle, a single candle lit in the darkness to start a movement. Lord, make me a candle of comfort in this world. Let me burn with peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Enough to bring tears to your eyes, huh? Yes, that's one thing we can do. We can be the candles. We can burn peace from one border to the next. And we shall do that, shan't we? I know, yes, we'll be the candles. Next slide, please. You may have seen this before. Before directing the lightning in the sky, we must first harness the storms in our own hearts. You seen this before, some of you? A few of you have, yes, being the community that you are. So this is from the Costa Rican poem, Resur, also known as the Week of Splendor. And you know the story of Rasur. The actual poem is 185 pages, but I'd like to try to summarize it for you here today as best I can. I got this! So one day in a small village called Kisur in the Costa Rican mountains, a young god of youth arrived in town. And a funny thing or a strange thing happened. The children disappeared. Rasur had took them into the mountain. And their parents were really worried, rightfully so, right? So they were calling out to their children. And when they would get to this certain place that was close to the mountain, it was like there was this magical barrier that would not let them past it. But they could hear their children inside the mountain chanting, Rasur, 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 and laughing and giggling. So they knew their children were not in any harm, but still, they were concerned. So in the evening, the children came out of the mountain and back to their parents, and they were telling their parents all the stuff they had learned from Rasur, and they were just so lighthearted and happy and just giggling. And the parents went, wow, and they really liked what they were hearing, and they were moved, and they became more lighthearted and happy. And then the next day, the children went back into the mountain, and at the end of the day, came out and shared again with their parents and their siblings and their friends. And after a few days of that, there was change in the whole culture of the community. They would walk down the streets, dance down the streets, arm in arm, singing and dancing and picking dandelions and creating amazing works of art, tapestry, weaving, basket weaving, painting. Just creativity was on the rise, and everybody was so lighthearted. And this was all good. And one day, Rasur said to the children, now it's time for me to go on to the next set of children. And they said, oh, Rasur, Rasur, don't go, don't go. And he said, you know, anytime you miss me, you just listen to your heart, and I'm right there. Right there. And we can do that too. We can listen to our heart. So you know Rita Marie Johnson? Yeah, a lot of you do. I took my BPs training from her, no, not from her, from Sandy and Rick Stover in 2012, right here. And I've since grown to, now I'm working in my ministry with Rita Marie, who's now in Costa Rica. I'm considering moving there to her resort property there, which she calls Kisur. And she's always wanted to help the children. That's her passion, so that they can learn other ways of resolving conflicts so that they don't have to grow up using violence and knives and guns and fists to get their needs met. So that's what we're working on. So would you show the next slide, please? So Rita Marie says, we can totally, totally solve global problems by taking them to that deeper place where there is only connection and knowing. Laser-like in getting to the roots of our ills. Wow, that's a powerful statement. So you know, what would be that piece of deeper, that place of deeper connection? We know deep in our hearts is a sacred, secret place where each of us can go, that's safe, no one else can enter there, where we as individuals, as human beings, can commune with God, divine spirit, higher self, creator, source, whatever you call it. We each can go there, where there's only connection. And unity teaches that there is a center, and that's the center we're talking about, that where there is only absolute peace, the essence of peace itself, right here inside, just waiting for us to access any time. Isn't that a relief to know that we can do that? So I said four things. So first two are connected. There's prayer and meditation. Do you know how to pray? Prayer chaplains can't play this game. Sometimes I'm so busy doing that when I decide it's time to pray or it's time to meditate, and I sit down, okay, it's time. And can't quiet my mind down. It just goes off and, oh, you forgot to do that, or, oh, and it's, you know monkey mind, any of you? Yeah, monkey mind. And I have to really work at quieting my mind so that I can meditate and so that I can pray. And on Saturday nights before, I like to pray every night, but I prefer, really like to pray at the night before a talk, because I work, never could get it perfect enough. And then I say, just got to let it go and pray Saturday night and let spirit, let it, the juices flow or whatever, and just pray for guidance during the night. So I put away the dishes and I feed the cats and I run upstairs and I get in bed. Okay, time to pray. Blank. Of all the times I've prayed, I can't think what to say or where to pray from. I mean, really? So then I just know that I just have to quiet my mind, get into coherence, and quiet my mind. And then sometimes I have to just start small. I just think, okay, get into gratitude or appreciation. I can't think of anything right now. You ever go there? Oh, this bed. I love this bed. Or the clean sheets. Or I look up in the shadow of the weeping willow and through the moonlight on the wall. And then I'm off and running. So sometimes we just have to break it down. That's one thing we can do. And of course, we know the breathing. A lot of you have probably taken meditation classes about how to meditate, how to quiet yourself. So those are some things we do. So I just think if we're going to have world peace and peace within our hearts, we need to learn to pray. Or better said, how to quiet our minds so that we can pray and meditate. And then what we experience inside our hearts is so peaceful that then we can emanate it out to the next person and the next person and the next person, one by one. So I want to ask you this too. How many of you have a prayer practice that's not just during wanting world peace or not during crisis, but is a rich, consistent, rewarding prayer or meditation practice? Wow. Okay, and if not, that's okay too. So no matter where we are on our journey, we can work to enrich our prayer experience and our prayer practice and our meditation practice even more. And we have the tools to do that here. We know what we need to do. So when we're disconnected, though, we're not listening inside. We're not able to get quiet, to be still, disconnect in the world. So some people say prayer's not enough, meditation's not enough. We can woo-woo all day long, and if we don't take action, nothing's going to get done out there in the world. And I get that. Action is our fifth unity principle. But before we can do that in a meaningful, tender sort of way, we need to first get peace in here. Then we're ready to take action that's done in a very constructive and loving and compassionate way. So we're divinely made. We're designed to be connected with ourselves and with spirit, with divine spirit, even when we feel separated. Do you ever feel disconnected from God or source or higher self or whatever you call it? Do you ever feel that? Do you ever get angry? Go, what? Help me understand here. Yeah. And we got to turn in. We got to learn how to be quiet and pray. We're not always good at listening, though, are we? Yeah. So we all know Myrtle Fillmore's story, one of our other co-founders, Charles and Myrtle. And you've who are in Unity have heard her story of healing when she had tuberculosis, and she went on, she did prayer to each of the organs in the cells and everything in her body, and asked for their forgiveness, that she had not taken better care of them, and that she had not, that she had abused them. And daily she would pray to the cells and organs to heal from the tuberculosis. And this went on a couple of years before she saw any results. It took longer than she expected, and she said at one point, I'm doing my prayer work and it's not working as quickly as I want it to, or as in the way that I want it to. What am I doing wrong? I've looked among my faults. What am I doing wrong? And Spirit said to Myrtle, you've looked among your faults. Now look among your virtues. She said, well, that was a strange thing. What does that mean? And then she realized she had always taken great pride in not letting her feelings show when she felt angry or sad or grieving. And she resolved to change that. She resolved to catch those feelings before they ate at her organs and cells and cut at her organs and cells. She said, when I wasn't doing that, I wasn't feeling as poised and sweet on the inside as I appeared to the world outside. So she resolved to catch them before they took hold. And I like to use another analogy here. You know how when you're weeding, pulling weeds, when they're little, they're pretty easy to pull out of the ground, but when they get big and they have the root structure diving into the ground, they're harder to pull out. So we catch them when they're young, before they've had time to root. So we catch those thoughts soon and those feelings, and that's what she vowed to do, to catch them before they irritated and cut at her organs. And it worked. So that's the other part of the Myrtle story that sometimes we don't often hear. And it's in her book, How to Let God Help You. It's on page 183. Okay. So four things. Meditation, prayer, being aware of our feelings and naming them. Oh, yeah. Ooh, don't deny it. Don't reject it. Just develop an awareness. Oh, well, look at that. I'm feeling angry. It's okay. Just let it pass on through. Don't have to do anything with it. Name it. Angry. Oh, okay. Just name it. Claim it. It's okay. It's okay. Fourth thing is heart math. You know the procedure of developing coherence between the brain and the heart. And when we do that, we think more clearly, our day goes better, we're more creative, everything all the way around. Physically, we're better off. And so there's a process for developing coherence between the heart and the brain in heart math that many of you know by heart. And that is, we focus on the heart. We breathe through the heart as if we could. And then we go to that which is easy for us to appreciate. I use a little kitten that romps up and down the stairs and up the inside of the blinds and playful. And every time I think of that kitten, I get a smile on my face and in my heart. So that's easy for me. So heart focus, heart breathing, then heart appreciation. And then I feel the appreciation. So then when I feel like I'm in coherence, there's another heart math technique that goes a step further, and that's called heart-brain insight. And that's when you get in coherence, then you ask your heart, what do I need to know about this? And I do this so often that all I have to do is put my hand on my heart, and my heart knows I'm going to ask. And the answers are always positive, non-judgmental. They're always quick, simple. When I'm making such a big complexity of it in my brain, when I ask my heart, it's like, well, of course. Oh, what relief. We can always do this. And to me, since I'm in a spiritual center, I can say this. To me, that's answered prayer. You get your answers right away. So, heart, what do I need to know about what's going on in the world right now? Asking yourself that. So that's a tool that's really powerful that you can use. So now we have four more tools that we can use to build peace in here. So next slide, please. Before directing the lightning in the sky, we must first harness the storms in our own hearts. Shall we say our affirmation together? Next slide. I am a peaceful soul on a powerful journey.